Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Ingram. Open your Bible, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and Philippians chapter 1. Now, we're not going to get a whole lot done tonight as far as our studies in continuing what we started studying together a few weeks ago. It's been about 3 weeks ago now. What to expect after your death. Can I say to you, while you're looking for your passage of Scripture, you know, there is an infatuation. I don't care who you are, Christians, even unsaved people are infatuated with the afterlife. People, they're getting involved in things, trying to find out what is on the other side. Well, I can tell you what's on the other side for the lost person. It's hell. I can also tell you what's on the other side for the saved person. It's heaven. But you know, there are people that are trying, that are getting involved in things, seances, Ouija boards, Wiccan, all kinds of stuff, trying to tap in to what's going to happen after death. And what we've been looking at here the last time that we met together, we read a few scriptures, so if you'll stand with me tonight, we're going to look at some things. And some of the things that I said last time, some that I'll say this time, may take you back just a little bit, but I found a long time ago, folks, we're just going to let the Bible do the talking for us, all right? And I want everybody to look up here. Listen to me. Folks, tradition doesn't mean it's truth, all right? There's a lot of traditional things that we say, and we say them flippantly, but there's no Bible basis for a lot of the man-made doctrines that we have concerning things after death. But let's just stick to the Bible and let God do the talking. Are you there in 2 Corinthians 5? Begin reading with me in verse number 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And every believer ought to say amen right there. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle or this body do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now I want you to go over to Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 21. Now, you got to understand, folks, that Paul, even though he was used greatly of God, he had the same desire that some of us have, and that is, boy, when am I going to see Jesus? When is this all going to be over? When is this mortal going to put on immortality, and this carnal shall put on eternal life? And when is all of this going to end, and we're going to see the Lord? I want you to notice in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. He says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to, does your Bible say depart? Okay, he wanted to go be with the Lord. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, he says, is more needful for you. And so when we were together a few Wednesday nights ago, I started and spoke on what to expect after your death. And we're going to kind of just add just a little bit to that, and we'll add a little bit more over the course of the next few Wednesday nights. Now, next Wednesday night will be the concluding service of our youth conference, so we'll pick this up in a couple of weeks. We'll eventually get all this done. And it'll be part 3 and 4 and 5, and just we're going to keep going until the Bible stops here, and we've learned as much as we can learn about what's going to happen after death. Father, would you bless our time that we have together? Thank you for the wonderful presentation that we saw tonight about the country of Spain. Would you burden us, not just for Spain, but for the world and for the reaching of souls? Bless the preaching of your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I mentioned last time that forever, every truly born-again believer, there is a groaning inside you to be with your Maker, to be with Christ. There's a great desire to be with the Lord. And by the way, if you don't have a craving and don't have a desire to be with the Lord, it may be that there's no Holy Ghost there. Because when you go back and read Romans chapter 8, it's the Holy Ghost that groans and makes those utterances before you, and groaning in us to be with the Lord. Now, when we were together last, we also tried to put to sleep some of the false teachings about death. Remember, we pretty much eliminated purgatory from the equation. Amen. We also talked about soul sleep, that the Bible does not teach soul sleep. Amen. Now, one of the areas that we talked about last week, and again, if you believe that the Bible teaches you, that's fine. All right, you're not going to hurt my feelings if you disagree. But we're going to learn here in just a minute. We'll read some scriptures that we have no evidence in Scripture, even from Hebrews chapter 12, where we like to read about the cloud of witnesses. I believe that the cloud of witnesses is making reference back to Hebrews chapter 11 and all the faithful witnesses there that have witnessed for Jesus Christ over time. But as far as I can tell, I cannot find any place in Scripture where anyone that dies and goes to heaven has any consciousness of what's going on here on earth. Now, there might be some that would go back to Matthew chapter 17 and say, well, look, Jesus appeared with Moses and Elijah. Yeah, but I think he brought them into the equation. I don't think they were standing at the portals of heaven saying, can I please go back? By the way, folks, when we get to heaven, if this mortal is going to put on immortality, and this flesh is going to put on and take on a new shape, form, and fashion, and I will be like Christ when I see him, I don't think I'm going to have a whole lot of interest in what's going on here. Because you know where my focus of attention is going to be? On one and one only, and that's the throne of the living God. And I think my focus and attention is going to be there. But there are many that believe that people, when they die and go to heaven, that they can have some knowledge of what's going on here at earth, on earth. And that's fine. But I just don't believe that Hebrews chapter 12 teaches that. Then we talked about and put to rest that, folks, there is no ghosts. Okay? There is no haunted houses. You say, wait a minute, I bet there is. Well, I didn't say there wasn't devils. I said, but there's no people that are dying and going off, whether it be to heaven or hell, and are coming back and writing things on your mirror. You've been watching too many sci-fi flicks. Okay? Folks, it don't happen. No place in Scripture do we find any evidence of that thing. You say, well, where is that coming from? Man. It's all man-made stuff. It's traditional stuff. Stuff that we hear stories. You remember how you used to sit around the campfire and tell all the ghost stories? They're all lies. We made them up. I hate to tell you that, but that's what we did. And then we talked about reincarnation, that the Bible teaches absolutely nothing about being reincarnated. All right, no such thing. So we kind of put to sleep some of those false teachings and ideas there that I think that would help us with those different areas. Now, I did say in conclusion the last time we were together that I have been at the bedside and I have witnessed people that have died in the Lord. But can I say also that I have also been there with people who have died outside the Lord? And if you've never been at the bedside of someone who has died in the Lord or someone who's died outside the Lord, they do die differently. No question about it. They die differently. Now, we're not going to get into things tonight about what I have heard people say and what I have heard others say that people have seen. We're just going to kind of stick to the Bible on that. But what I want to do tonight is I want to just look at some things in the Bible, straight from the Bible, about people that have died and were brought back to life And I want to find out what they said about what happened to them after they died and came back. Did y'all read ahead of me like I asked you to and write down all the notes and all the information that they gave us in Scripture about what happened during the time they were dead? Did y'all go write all that down? Did y'all come up with as much information as I did? Because once I read them all and I had my paper ready to write it down, after I read all the places in the Bible where people died and were raised again from the dead, and my pen, you know what? I looked at my piece of paper before I started. I looked at my piece of paper after I started. It looked exactly the same. Because then none of them say anything. Now, let me show them to you. Take your Bible, if you would. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Y'all remember Elijah and the widow of Zarephath's son? Okay, go to 1 Kings chapter 17. All right, 1 Kings 17 and verse 17. Now follow along with me. Everybody agree? Let's just let the Bible define what's going on here. Let's just let it tell us what we need to believe and stop reading Dr. Duflunky's book about all these out-of-body experiences that he's had. Now, can I say something to you folks? I'm not saying that people that have died didn't see something or hear something. I don't know. I've never died. I don't know what listen, and about the bright lights and all that, I don't know. I don't know what they experienced. But the thing about it is, all I'm saying is what some of these people are saying, the people in the Bible didn't say anything. And if we serve the same God of yesterday and today and forever, don't you think that at least one of them would have seen the bright light? But none of them did. None of them even recorded in here. Then look at this in verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again. I want you to notice this because it's important, because you need to circle this word. And he revived. It's important. Circle the word. So what's important about it? It did not say he resurrected. It said he revived. The Holy Spirit was very careful to use the word revive, because what Elijah had done through the power of God was brought life back into him. And you know what happened to the boy? He died again. Did you know what happened to Lazarus? He was revived to die again. Folks, there's only been one resurrection. And that resurrection was Jesus Christ, who never died again. Okay? Only been one resurrection. Been a lot of revivals of life, but one resurrection. Now, did you notice in here, it says in Elijah, verse 23, took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And guess what? And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. End of story. Do you know the kid never said anything? Mama, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe what happened during the time that I was dead. God never recorded it. He said, well, I want to know. You'll know soon enough. You see, there's some things that God don't want you to know. And that's the reason here, I believe, we have no record. You say, but we don't know that they didn't talk in private. God gave you the information he wanted you to have. And this guy never said one thing, not one thing, about what happened during the time that he was dead. All right, go if you would now to 2 Kings chapter 4. Remember, Elisha likewise raised someone from the dead. Remember the Shunammite woman's son? 2 Kings chapter 4. And look at verse number 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." That still happens today. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Guess who she's going to look for? The man of God. Go to verse 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead. No question about it, right? And laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. When he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she was come in unto the house, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. End of the story. No bright lights. No hovering around the room saying, "Man, I could see all of you people." They were hovering around the room. "I could see it all." Didn't say anything about that. You say, "But preacher, I've read books." That's our problem. The problem is we're believing books over the Word of God. Okay? So far, we've read two people have died, been revived. Neither one of them said they saw anything. Neither one of them, the Scripture even recorded anything that had happened to them. Why? I don't believe God wants you to know everything. You say, "But yeah, but that's Old Testament." Okay, let's go to the New Testament. Go to Luke chapter 8 and find out what Jesus did here. Okay, go to Luke chapter number 8. Okay, Luke chapter 8, verse 41. Remember Jairus' daughter? Luke 8, 41. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying, but as he went, the people thronged him." Go to verse 49. "And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master.' But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.' And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, 'Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called and said, 'Maid, arise.' And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done." End of story. No information. Now, wait a minute, you said, "Yeah, but she is only 12. Any of you got a 12-year-old can talk? Now, listen. I could read you on and on, folks. We could go to Luke 7 and read about the widow of Nain's son. Listen, he had been dead long enough. They were on their way to bury him. Jesus raised him from the dead. You know how much information we have about his afterlife experience? None. Matter of fact, when you go, probably the most famous of all of those that were raised was Lazarus in John chapter 11. You know how much information we've got from Lazarus about the afterlife? None. You say, "But yeah, but he lived it. I remember Jesus going into his home and they sit there and chit-chatted about it." Find me any passage of Scripture that said, "I was caught up into the throne room of God." Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, folks, listen to me. This was an adult man. And then let me mention one of you. You can write it down and read it in your spare time. Acts chapter 9. Remember, Peter raised a woman by the name of Tabitha. Raised her from the dead. Acts chapter 9. Guess how many comments she made about her afterlife experience? None. None at all. So what I'm saying is, well, preacher, what are you saying? What can I expect after I die? Well, we're going to look into that. We're not going to have time to look into it this week. But what I want to say to you that is this. It may be that the reason that we don't have any record in Scripture of anyone testifying of their after-death experience is because God doesn't want us to know everything about life after death. You say, but I want to know. Well, you'll know soon enough. May I remind you that Paul, probably the greatest Christian that we know of in the New Testament outside of John the Baptist, likewise had an afterlife experience. Go with me. This will be our last one. Acts chapter 14. I want to show you what he said. Acts chapter 14. Okay, Acts 14, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and remember this is in Lystra, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been what? Now, folks, listen to me. These people had done enough stonings. They know when you're dead. They drug his body out of the city and threw it out of the city like a piece of trash. You say, well, what happened to Paul? Go to 2 Corinthians 12. He recounts this again. Okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 1. It is not expedient, Paul said, for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now I want you to notice verse number 2. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Now this is an interesting statement. Notice what it says. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. Who do you think he's making reference to there? Himself. Now listen to me, folks, and I want you to listen to me real well. Paul said at the time he was stoned and met death, he didn't know whether he was dead or alive. He said, I didn't know. And yet we find all of these bestseller books that are telling us all this stuff, and I can't find any of it in the Bible. So am I going to believe what some man writes in a book about it? Listen, I'm not saying something didn't happen and they didn't see something. But folks, listen, I'm sorry. I got to stick with the book. Okay? And the book doesn't record any explanation about any of this stuff that matches up. And folks, listen to me. I'm telling you, I've read a ton of stuff. And you may have had loved ones that maybe had passed away for 30 seconds or a minute, and they may have told you some things. Listen, Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, what did he say? I can't even tell. I didn't even know if I was dead or alive. Now, look what else he says. He said, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He said that twice now. How that he was caught up into paradise. Now listen, is everybody with me? And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to what? Whatever he heard, whatever he saw, he said, I can't speak it and can't explain it. Look on. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now you say, preacher, what is the purpose here? The Apostle Paul likewise had an afterlife experience. And he said, whatever it was, whatever he saw, whatever he experienced, he said, unspeakable. Can't even speak about it. Can't even describe it. And so you know what he did? He left it at that. No best-selling books. No white lights. No walking down corridors with angelic beings patting him on the back. No automatic wings on his back. Wasn't fluttering around the throne of God. And folks, you know what? We laugh at that. Go read it. Go read it. They're all on the bookshelves. You know how much of that I find in the Bible? None. Because the people who died in the Bible and came back spoke no words, not even the Apostle Paul. And by the way, would everybody agree that the Apostle Paul was not one short of words? If something would have happened that he could have written down, don't you think he'd have said something about it? Absolutely, he would have. And yet he said unspeakable words, and he said that even at that point, he said, I wasn't hovering around that pile of stones and think, look, there's a pile of stones. I wonder if that's me under there. He wasn't hovering around his deathbed. He wasn't hovering around watching all of this stuff. And he said, listen, he said, when it happened to me, I couldn't even tell if I was dead or not. I didn't even know. So let me just wrap this up tonight and just say this. Paul described his experience as one that he was not sure if he was alive or if he was dead. He said he couldn't tell right away until he was caught up. And he said, but when I was caught up into the third heaven, I kind of figured out something's different here. You say, preacher, what am I going to see? What's the first thing that I'm going to see after I die? Well, you come back in a couple of weeks and we're going to find out about some experiences that people experienced in the Bible. Now, you can go ahead and read ahead. You can go ahead and read ahead and you'll find that Stephen experienced something just prior to death. And did you know that Lazarus also in Luke 16 experienced something, and the rich man experienced something? And the thing about it is, Lazarus' death kind of comes into some of the people that I've been at their bedside while they were dying. They kind of said some of the same things he said. Go read it. And when we get back next week, hopefully we'll be able to get that far. But when we come back in a couple of weeks, I'm going to answer some questions about what happens when babies die. What does the Bible talk about when those die that have not sinned after the similitude of Adam? What happens to them? People are interested in that kind of stuff. They want to know. And you know, the Bible tells us exactly what happens. You say, where is it? Where is it? It's in the Bible. We'll look at it when we gather next, in a couple of weeks. Father, bless our time together tonight, and we look forward to what